The comments heard on The View from a Pew are those of Mac McCoy and are not necessarily the opinions of his guests, his producer Garth, any one particular denomination or religion, the church lady, Mr. Lemke, Pastor Craig, or anyone else of sound mind and body. Now, here is today's The View from a Pew, heard all around the world on YouTube. Just search for The View from a Pew.
Good afternoon. I'm Mac McCoy, and this is The View from a Pew, live here on 27 pot sites, on Facebook, on X. I'm supposed to say formerly known as Twitter. I don't know why, but I do. And, of course, it's also on YouTube, as I said, and we have our own Roku channel. Just look for The View from a Pew. So today we're answering the question, what does the Bible say about forgiveness? And my guest host is Gary from Sunnyside Church of Christ.
Sunny Slope.
Sunny, what did I say?
Sunny Slide. You said Sunnyside. Sunny Slope.
Well, slope and slide are kind of the same, aren't they?
Kind of.
But not really. So we talked a lot about what the Bible says about forgiveness. Now comes the hard question. And it's not a hard answer, but it's the hard question. How can I be forgiven for my sins? What do I need to do?
We need to respond to the Lord's invitation in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, where he said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." That's a key phrase there. And then, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So how do I come to Jesus for forgiveness? On Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, you talk about a scathing sermon that Peter preached, and his words are highlighted in Acts chapter 2.
Yep.
I mean, there were thousands of Jewish men gathered there for the Pentecost, probably, and you go back early in the chapter, it says, from all the nations under you know, heaven, in other words, the known world. So they were from all kinds of different places, and they were gathered there. And we know that about 3,000 ended up being baptized as the conclusion of Peter's sermon, you know, moved them to do so. But he convicted them of having crucified the Son of God. And he said, you know, he performed signs and wonders and miracles in your midst. You know about those, and yet you still rejected him. And so in verse 37, some of those Jewish men said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Okay, yep. They were moved to ask the question, what do we need to do? In verse 38, the first word out of Peter's mouth was repent. Okay, you did not believe in Jesus, you got to believe in him. You would not follow him, you got to follow him. You rejected him, you've got to receive him. Okay, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, that word remission in the Greek, translated into remission in the English, is we normally, and you'll find some translations, they'll put forgiveness in there, for the forgiveness of sins. But the word remission, as I understand it, is a much deeper word. Mm-hmm. The idea is that when you are baptized into Christ, at that moment, you contact the blood that he shed on the cross to pay for the guilt of your sins, and God completely wipes the slate clean. It is blot your sins, all record of it, blotted out. God does not hold any memory of them against you.
And that would be called repentance.
Well, repentance is when I make up my mind. Repentance literally means a change of mind.
Okay.
But it's a change of mind, inherently understood within it is a change of behavior or a change of life.
Right.
And so when I make up my mind, okay, as Peter said, first you got to repent. You didn't believe in Jesus, you got to believe in him.
Yep.
You wouldn't come to him, you got to come to him.
Yep.
Okay, how do I come to him? You got to be baptized into him for the remission of your sins.
Yep.
And when that happens, when you're baptized into him, your sins are completely blotted out in God's mind. And when Saul of Tarsus, who had become the Apostle Paul, when he was taught by Ananias, and Ananias was sent to teach him by Jesus.
Yep.
Ananias said, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So at that point, our sins are forgiven. At that point, Romans chapter 6, verse 3 says that we're baptized into Christ. So we come into Christ, and there is no condemnation in Christ, Romans 8 and verse 1. So that's where salvation is. And we are reborn, John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5.
Born again.
And Jesus said, you can be born of the water and the Spirit. So we're born again. We're made new, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. So we become new. Yeah, if you're bow-legged, you're still going to be bow-legged physically. Yeah. If you're bald like me, you're still going to be bald physically
but
when you come up out of that water.
Yeah. God only made perfect heads with no hair.
Yeah, but spiritually, which is the most important aspect of our being, we're clean. Yeah. We're absolutely new.
Yeah.
We're in Christ. In Christ. Two times in the New Testament, and the only two times you see the phrase into Christ preceded by the means of coming into Christ is Romans 6 and verse 3, Galatians 3 and verse 21. Both of them say baptized into Christ. So I have made a complete transition in my life. I was outside of Christ. Now I'm in Christ. I was lost in my sins. Sins are blotted away now.
Yeah.
I was my old man, as Paul puts it. I'm a new man now. And we're talking about man generically. I'm a new person. That's how I come to forgiveness. And I don't ever have to go back into that sinfulness.
Now, I want to make something clearer, and Gary, you tell me if this is incorrect. By the way, that's Gary Hutchins. I'm Mac McCoy. This is The View from a Pew, and what does the Bible say about forgiveness? We may repeat those sins, and Jesus still forgives those. If you come from Catholicism, then you're told that you repented for them once, you were baptized. If you do it again, that's called confession. So you got to confess to Jesus that you did it again, but he does not. Let me back up. He knows you're going to keep doing it, and you are still forgiven, even though you do it again and again and again. That's just the way it works. Now, Paul says in 5, does that mean I just got the license to sin? No, you know what? For some reason, you don't want to. You've got that Holy Spirit voice inside you going, no, Mac, don't say that. If that falls out of your mouth, that's going to be bad. Where before, it was my conscience saying, say whatever you want. The thing about forgiveness is it starts with God. And if you can't accept God's forgiveness for your sins, how do you expect him to accept your unforgiveness for other people? Here's three easy steps. One, recognize you need to forgive others. Why? Because that's the way, through Jesus, that we receive that free gift of salvation. It's the only thing God asks of us. You must forgive people as you want me to forgive you. Second thing, ask Jesus for help. Don't try to do this on your own. Why would you do that? And three, pray for that person that you need to forgive, or they need to forgive you. Pray that they are happy, joyful, receive everything in life that God wants them to have. Don't punish, don't hurt, don't put them through a bunch of stuff. Vengeance is yours, God. And you will decide if vengeance is something you put on that person. It's not for me, it's for him. But here's the super thing about God. If you see God taking that person and, let's just use the crucifixion, whipping him and whipping him and whipping him for the vengeance of that sin, if you say, God, stop, you don't need to do that anymore, you've done enough, God will stop. He's a full of grace and mercy God, and he simply asks us to follow Jesus and then repent of our sins and then ask for Jesus for help, and then pray for those others that you want to forgive or you need to forgive them, that Jesus will help.
We need to understand, too, Mac, that the devil's going to keep working on us.
Oh, yeah.
And we cannot go back into a lifestyle of sin. Now, are we going to commit sins like you said? Yes. Even as a Christian, we're going to make mistakes. John talks about that in 1 John chapter 1. But if we'll confess our faults and seek God's forgiveness through prayer, once we become a Christian, once we've been baptized into Christ, then John says, at the end of that chapter, God is just to forgive us of our sins and of all unrighteousness. But if we go back into that old lifestyle and we just go back and live in that old lifestyle of sin, then we've got problems again, and we've got to repent of that and get our lives straight again. In Ezekiel chapter, here's a principle laid out. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 24 through 26, Ezekiel, he says, and of course this is God's word, when a righteous man turns away from his unrighteousness, and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All the righteousness he has done shall not be remembered because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed, because of them he shall die. Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of life. We got to live that repented life. If we go back into sinfulness again, a lot of people, they think, okay, I got forgiven. That's it. Now they go back and they keep doing exactly what they were doing. That's not repentance. They've got to change their life. It's got to be that new life. And then God is ready to forgive even when we make those mistakes and we commit a sin here and there. He's ready to forgive us. He wants to forgive us. And that's important. Let me encourage our listeners. Go to our website, churchofchrist.com. churchofchrist.com, or to our YouTube page, Sunny Slope Church of Christ, Sunny Slope Church of Christ. And we have posted there 6 lessons, and I believe they're all posted in video format, if you find it easier to watch and listen in that way. We had a guest speaker come in just a couple of weeks ago, and he did 6 really outstanding lessons. Why come to Jesus?
Yep.
Why come to Jesus?
Yep.
And listen to those. They're filled with Scripture. I mean, filled with Scripture. And they really help us understand why we need to come to Jesus. But we need to live that transformed life. Paul says in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yep, the renewing of your mind.
Yeah, that you may prove what that, that excellent, worship of God. So we need to be transformed. Now, get in God's Word. If you think you can live that transformed life, that Christian life, without studying God's Word, again, that may be the devil just working on you.
Yeah.
You need to be in God's Word. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17.
My kids were not raised in a Christian household because I was not a Christian back then. And I always told my youngest daughter, just be nice to people. We weren't talking about faith or salvation.
Yeah, just be nice.
Just be nice. Well, I made a mistake.
Yeah.
Because I should have said, you can be nice to people all you want, but until you ask Jesus to come into your life, there's no gate for you to walk through.
And what's the standard of being nice to somebody without Jesus?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do I mean by being nice?
Yeah.
See, when a person understands through his study of God's Word this transformed life, and he enters into that life as he's baptized into Christ, it's a whole new reality for him. It's brand new. He's learning things. He's seeing things from a different perspective.
Gary Hutchins is my guest. He's the pastor at Sunny Slope Church of Christ, 9:30, 10:30 on Sunday mornings, right. 6 o'clock on Sunday nights, 6:30 on Wednesday. I don't write this stuff down. I probably should. So one more thing if you want to do something. One of my ministries is I facilitate, I don't teach, Holy Spirit teaches, I facilitate an eight-week class called 70 times 7. And I am one of their certified, this is what they call them, forgiveness champions. And I'll walk you through an eight session, I guess I shouldn't say week, but it's an eight-session process. And I have watched people forgive themselves, forgive others. I've had daughters whose father is long gone, and he was brutal and abusive, and they've been able to forgive them. Forgiveness isn't for that person. They're dead. Forgiveness isn't for the person who refuses to forgive you. Forgiveness is very selfish. Because when you forgive someone, you've taken that burden, that resentment, that rock that you're carrying around, and you've cast it to Jesus. You don't just throw it in the water someplace. Give it to him. He'll be able to manage that for you. All right, Gary, thank you very much. What does the Bible say about forgiveness? Do it.
Yep. Just
do it. We're like Nike. Yeah, just do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you'll have such, as you said a moment ago, you'll have such a burden lifted off your heart when you come to that point where you say, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to forgive that person.
Yeah. And if you would ever want me to come and facilitate a class for your home church, your home study, your class or whatever, I'm glad to do it. It is a faith-based program because you can't have forgiveness without Jesus. Seriously. You can't have biblical forgiveness without having Jesus in your life. There are people out there that won't forgive you. If they're not following Christ, just forgive them and walk on, because they don't know how. If you want to learn how, reach out to me anytime, but start with Jesus. He's really the king here. I'm Mac McCoy, and if I haven't told you lately, I love this job. Couldn't do it without you. Coming up next week, the Bible says, do we know yet?
What does the Bible say? I've forgotten what comes next. But anyway, we'll get to it next time.
All right. Remember, it's The View from a Pew Live. Just search for it. I'm Mac McCoy, and if I'm not here next time, look for Jesus, because I'm with him. Where you'll find more.